I know where I'm stopping on the way home now.
Bojangles.
Bird dog time. So,
you're going to get home and Wendy's going to be in tears. We can't financially recover. We need this to go away. We need the bird dogs to leave. You come in holding three Bojangle boxes full of bird dogs.
Somehow I have a bird dog costume on at this point.
We can't financially recover. We have to sell the house.
So you're saying like I Bojangles can get more bird dogs?
Bojangles comes and puts a Bojangles paddle on your house.
Close my house. Here we go. Welcome. You clapped over me. Welcome to the Goose Grace, because all the good names are taken. My name's Dan Amos.
And I'm too cool for school.
Also known as Drew.
Don't say the last name. What are you doing?
I always start with my name. Sir, are you in witness protection?
Look.
That explains so much. So, to get back to... Well, not even to get back to. We hadn't even approached it yet. Last week, we talked about a little bit about online church and you know, pros, cons, how can it be used, should it be used, all of that good stuff. What does the Bible say about the internet? You know, all that good stuff. This week, we're going to continue that, but we're going to look at it through the lens of a different piece of scripture and discuss it a little bit more. And so we're going to be where?
Apparently where we always are every other week. Matthew 28:16 to the end.
This may seem slightly familiar from a few episodes back.
And a few episodes after that one.
It's a good one. It's a good one.
All right, so now the 11 went to Galilee. 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they had saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age."
All right. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time and for this vehicle you've provided for us to share your word and to discuss your word. And thank you just for the time we get together to be in your word and grow together. So Heavenly Father, we pray that above all else that this podcast bring you glory and that it share the message of Jesus Christ with those who would hear it. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Drew... As you know, we don't discuss things beforehand, rarely ever.
I get told nothing.
Ever. So with that knowledge, or lack of knowledge, might I say, what does the Great Commission have to do with online church?
So, I don't know, because last week I was confused about it.
Honest answers, man. Honest answers right here.
But,
getting real.
Yeah. I mean,
you said you didn't know you weren't lying.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess if I had to make an educated
guess,
because again, don't know. This isn't me trying to play
this
dumb.
This man is saying it's an educated guess. So.
Yes. You know, the go therefore, like
yeah.
we have to like, go. You have to be on mission. And if you're a part of an online church, and if you only get online, are you going to be in the mission field?
Yes. So here we go. This was great. I love your ignorance. Thank you for bringing that today.
I take it everywhere with me.
So can't seem to separate myself from it. No, there's two ways to look at this, and that's why I wanted us to come back to the Great Commission, and it's just a comfy place to be. We've been here before.
At least we're not John.
Let's look at this for a minute. So there's one way of looking at it, which is what you brought up. It says, go, that's pretty strong verb there, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. Now, that I agree, that leans to the fact of us physically going. I mean, obviously, especially here, because they didn't have internet. Like, they had letters. Yes, we're thankful for Paul's letters, absolutely. But they didn't have, you know, the means of communicating over wide distances like we do now. But there's also another half of this. It says, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So, making disciples, we know that happens through... prayer, through the hearing of God's word, and through the application of God's word. It really, discipleship takes the form of literally being guided by someone who is more mature in the faith and you're learning, you know, alongside them, but they're probably a little bit further along in this journey than you are. And what I would say is that the flip side of that argument that it says go is the fact that the internet allows us to reach people we would never be allowed to reach with God's word. Well, I won't say we'd never be allowed to reach or never be able to reach. But it removes a lot of the barriers, meaning I can hop online and post it. Well, this podcast is a great example. We have listeners. Somehow our country with the second most listeners is Russia. Now, I don't know about you. Currently, I have no plans to visit Russia in person. Now that I've said that, God will laugh, and somehow in like 3 weeks, I'll end up in Russia on mission or something. It's going to be that would be interesting. It'd be a cultural shock for everybody involved, I feel like.
Russia.
What is Russia for bird dog? I need to know these things to survive. Bojangles bird dog, rather. But yeah, there's two ways to look at the scripture. Go, meaning, yeah, absolutely, go physically to these places, but also the ability that technology has given us to reach places we can never reach without substantial effort and resources, without online church or online technology, rather. So, Drew, which side now I know what you started off on, but which side of that do you kind of fall on? Because I think I know the answer. I think the answer is exactly what you said to begin with. Of he says go, and you were kind of following up with something. What were you following up with on there? You said go.
If you don't go to church, you're not going to be willing to go to the mission field.
Okay, so you're saying,
well, it's going to be harder. I wouldn't say not. I mean, weird people out there.
Now, would you say? And this is not where I was planning on going, so we'll see how it goes. Would you say is there a such thing as the digital mission field? Do you feel that there's a legitimate thing?
Yeah, I mean, definitely.
Okay.
And COVID really put that
kind of blew that up. Yeah, put a spotlight on it.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think of how to phrase this.
If you can't figure out, you're in good company, because I've been struggling with it for like 2 weeks now.
So again, though, if you're struggling to go to church,
mm-hmm.
then you getting on the mission field is going to be that much tougher.
But I'm playing devil's advocate for a minute. But if
you play it, and I'll burn you to the ground.
Not today, Satan. If I can approach the mission field in a digital way, though, couldn't I just do it? I'm going to church digitally. Can't I just do that digitally too?
But are you in what capacity are you serving the church if you can't go to the church? And that's where my big point is. You know, I go on the mission field, but I only do church online. Well, my question is why? And most people, I'm not going to say everybody.
Right.
You know, there's some people who I know, still kind of sensitive to COVID
or other physical reasons you just simply can't attend.
I understand those. But most people, it is, well, just the people there. There's people there. Mm-mm.
I have bad news. In other countries, there's people there too.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like those same people that you're dealing with in the church are out there in the streets.
Yeah.
Like, you're not getting saints in the street because the people you're supposed to go minister to are...
It's like the hardest rap album you've ever released. Let me tell you.
It's going to...
Ain't no saints in the street.
Look, I'm going to get a job at McDonald's. I'm going to put all my mixtapes in there.
Oh, that's beautiful, man.
Seriously, like, you're going to be dealing with, I even argue, on some capacity, worse people because they don't know how to act.
Right, right.
They don't have the guidelines that Christians have. Yes, there are some Christians that if a Bible hit them, that'd be the closest they'll ever get to one. I understand that, you know.
But in general.
In general, the average person is going to be worse than in the church. And yes, unsaved.
Unchurched, unsaved,
And again, that's what's saying. I understand there are bad apples in every church. I'm not sitting here saying every church is a God's gift to this earth. No, because there are some horrid people in the church.
But are you staring right at me?
Oh, because they're obsessed with bird dogs. We know who they are, bird dog.
Oh, man.
But the key is, it's like this, right? If I'm not willing, if say I play baseball, you know, I'm in high school, I play baseball. If I'm not willing to go to practice, like, am I going to play in the game?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, no, I'm not going to be ready for the game. Yeah. If you don't come to church and you're not there, you're not feeling all that, then like you said last week, more than likely it's harder for you to retain anything.
Yep.
Because that feeling that a church offers is not there.
That connection. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so you're not retaining as much. And so you're going out into the mission field weaker than what you would be there. And now again, I'm not saying online church is trash and you should be getting rid of. No. It is a necessity.
Use and a place. Yeah.
Yeah. It has a necessity in every church.
Yeah.
And if a church does not have an online presence, then they're already behind the eight
there's
ball.
There's some missed opportunity there.
Yeah.
I think you kind of hit a couple times on something that I think is really key to understanding the place of online church communities and online church resources, all of that, just digital church in general, we'll use that term. And that is perspective. Oh, you just got hyped up. Give me like a second or two.
I know.
Don't
your seconds
lose it.
Are like 30 minutes.
I know.
Okay.
So get ready. No, but that's perspective. So the thing that changes, I think, when I go to my local church, when I'm part of my local church, hopefully I am making connections. There are people who I genuinely care for, who we go through life together. They're hurting. I'm hurting with
same
them.
Same stage.
They're celebrating. Do what?
Same stage of life.
Yeah, yeah. And
you're a Christian walk.
And we go through these things together and we
grow together.
Yes, and encourage each other and share each other's burdens and all of that. I think the tendency with digital church, regardless of what format it takes online, is to become a consumer because I don't have those connections.
Which is what we talked about last week.
I'm just taking those things in. It may have some impact, but I will say this. So I currently attend Marian Baptist Church. If I watch online, I would say it has a bigger impact on me than if I watch, I'm not knocking any of these, but like Elevation Church, because I've never been there. So I have a connection to those physical people. And so when I see Pastor Hank, I have a connection to him personally. So the feeling kind of
goes through the phone
temporarily,
a little bit.
At least for a while, if I have to be away for a little while, yes. And that's the big difference.
So I think what you're saying, even being in person some helps connect you.
Builds that connection.
Yeah.
Yes.
So my question, do you know what a satellite church is, right?
Yes.
Church without a pastor. The pastor is another church. He preaches, they record.
Yep.
Is that an online church?
Oh, you're going to mess with me now.
Is that online church? Because you are technically still looking at a screen.
You taking me into dangerous territory.
I have an answer.
I'm going to give you an answer. Then you hit me with yours. So I will say it is a local church because there is a human connection there. You're there with other people. You're going through life with other people there. You're worshiping with other people there. But I will say, I personally feel like it is a weaker version. And this is where people get kind of offended. Because this is where it gets hairy. To me, that pastor should be part of that specific church. Meaning, I think there's added value in Hank Meadows being here physically, going through things with us. Not that he should be preaching to felt needs. I'm not pushing that. But to be intermingled with the rest of that church that he is serving. Now, where it gets iffy is some of these churches have, the pastor that shows up on the screen, then they have a pastor in that church that may not preach on Sunday mornings or whatever, but is still intertwined. So I don't know. But to me, it feels like it's in a weakened state. You share yours because I got nothing to back that up.
No, I agree completely because, the Bible does say we're two or more together than I am also. Yeah. So there's still that community. Yeah. The church is still there.
Yeah.
But yes, the pastor doesn't know his congregation at that point. Let's just be real. You don't, because when do you see your congregation?
usually on Sundays, Wednesdays.
Exactly. Like, there you go. And so if you're not there, you're not seeing your congregation. Yeah. But I will. I would say that as long as the congregation is close knit and the and the church, like, it is a weaker version because again, the pastor can be just, I mean, into it. All of a sudden, you get a buffer and everyone loses that feeling. Or you're just not. It's just not coming through the screen. Like, I'm saying, that feeling, he's not persuading enough to come through. But I would say, though, I think as long as the church body is strong enough, and but see, that's the key, is the church body strong enough. And I would argue, and this might be a little too
spicy.
Yeah, most Christians, though, aren't spiritually mature enough to have that connection.
Okay. So that's an awesome segue into the next little part of this I want to talk about, and that is
because we cut off when it says go therefore. It says how we read it in the 21st century is go therefore baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
We skip that middle part.
Yeah. Making disciples.
And it's not just Christians. It's pastors' fault too, because pastors are supposed to be seeing it through, and we're not. We're baptizing at a alarming rate with nothing after.
And
here's your shirt. Here's your cup. Here's your decal. Go.
Yeah.
I mean,
enjoy.
Yeah. I mean, there's zero discipleship.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's because everyone wants to be a mega church, and mega churches can't run like that.
No, no.
You know?
And I think what we're doing, and I think this will mirror what we're just talking about. I think what we did with the different formats of church is kind of build a spectrum. And that's not to say any of them are bad, but they're different and they require different, they're better for different
reasons.
Believers at different steps of their spiritual maturity.
Well, it's like this. You go and you sit at Marian Baptist Church, you listen to that sermon.
Mm-hmm.
Same, you know, say it's Matthew 28:16, you know, the Great Commission. Then you go to Hollywood, Matthew 28:16. Mm-hmm. Then you go to New Vision, Matthew 28. Yep. You know, you heard three different messages.
Oh, absolutely.
All said in different ways.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, is any way worse than the other? No.
Right.
Because they all target a specific audience.
Right, right.
There's nothing wrong with the pastor. There's nothing wrong with the church. We just put it on a spectrum so people can understand that there's negatives to all of it.
And what I would say is, and you were hitting on this just a little while ago. So, unfortunately, because of biblical illiteracy, because of the secularization of the church in a lot of areas, we've become baby Christians. I would say the majority of even local church attending people are still barely like baby toddler. We can think of that.
Most Christians nowadays don't get out of that.
Right, right. That's what I'm saying. We kind of hang. So for them, the most productive and safest space for them to be in spiritually is in the local church, where they're connected, where they have that support system in place, that structure in place. Then, if it's going to be done correctly, if they're going to be successful and grow spiritually, then if you're kind of that next group, let's say young adult or teenager, spiritually speaking, then you
can satellite church might work.
Survive in a satellite church. Now, because what? There's less supports in place. There's less rigidity in place. There's a little less connection.
And it's
kind of the midway.
Yeah, and it's starting to lean more on you. You deciphering what the pastor's saying and applying it to your own life.
Being proactive in
basically,
that.
Basically, just going to be real.
Yeah.
You're not like...
There's no handholding.
And there's no emotionalism for you to ride on.
Yeah.
And baby Christians need that emotionalism to get them... to get you from point A to point B. That's what emotional... baby Christians need is something to get them point A to point B. And when you're a teenager, yes, you need it on occasion.
Yeah, put not more sugar much. In with the medicine for the new ones. Yeah.
Exactly. And so as you mature, you don't need the emotionalism. You have a relationship.
Yeah, yeah. You're beginning to be not self-sustaining, but more reliant on the Holy Spirit than your surroundings. That's a weird way to say it, but I don't have a better way.
You're more self-sustaining in the fact that you know where to look.
You have your own relationship with God. You're not depending on others.
You know what's
other,
fluff versus what's meat.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're able to decipher and
discern
pull out the meat and leave fluff.
So then we go to the other end of the spectrum, which is online digital church, you know, environments. And I would say that as a if you're using that as your only means, that very few people have the spiritual maturity to be so self-guided, to be so independent, that they could continue to spiritually grow. And I don't know that anybody necessarily is, because I think the funny thing is, as you move through that spectrum, as you become more spiritually mature, what happens is you begin to desire that first option more and more. You desire to be with God's people. You desire to spend time in worship, you know, at your local church. And so I would argue that if you get to that point that you're that spiritually mature that you could handle, you know, purely digital, then you're not going to want it anyway, because you've come to the conclusion that you're meant to be with God's people.
I've talked to people who can't get out. They're shut-ins.
Yeah, yeah.
And the mature believers always look at me and say, man, I watch online every Sunday, but man, do I miss
people. They're never like, thank goodness I don't have to go into that church building anymore. Yeah.
And it, while you have baby Christians are like, hey, this is why we got it. We'll use it. Let's go to Lake today.
Yeah, then, yeah. We can watch it on our phones on the way there.
Exactly. Like,
and so that was a great way to. I like the spectrum idea. So, all right. The other thing I want to bring up is
tortellinis.
How do they get the meat in there? It's sealed. I don't understand. So the idea that people are people. If we're online, it's still people. I'm still interacting with people. We're still connected. Here's the thing, and we have people who say that. And Drew, you're going to get this analogy really quickly, or this picture of it. Play an online video game for 10 minutes.
Please.
There is a disconnect when you're talking at a screen, when you're typing at a screen, whatever it is, when you're not face-to-face, you suddenly can say things you would never say in person. You begin to see them as just this little screen name or whatever it is on the platform that you're using, and not as another person.
And also—
And you confirm this.
Oh, 100%. and also, if I'm watching and I don't want to interact with anybody. When you're at church, that's impossible. So yeah. You're going to interact with somebody.
Some little old lady is coming up to you.
Exactly. If I'm like, I don't want to interact with anybody, I just want to be online.
Yeah.
I can just swipe the comments to the left and I've seen a full screen of whoever's preaching, not interacting with anybody.
Then I can go back to scrolling on my phone, doing whatever else while that's playing on my TV.
Exactly.
You know.
Or you have the spammers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. And I respect these people because they had to think about it. They'll just put "is watching" because their name's already there.
Yeah.
And I love those people. They're my favorite.
It took me a while to catch on because I was like, "is watching." Is ooh.
I was like, I like that. Or amen, oh, amen, man. Brother. Great service, beautiful service. Trying to not to cry. Yeah. Love this. I'm like, oh my gosh, like. You're oversharing.
I saw you on the way to Hardee's. I know where you're at. You're not crying in Hardee's.
Amen. As I enjoy this golden corral. Yeah.
And so when that happens, man, okay. So you bring up a great point of the disconnect. And then I think that comes alongside of what I was talking about of not no longer see him as a person. There's just this kind of thing on the screen that you kind of interact with. You brought up something really important though, and then we're getting close to ending. This isn't my final thought, but we'll meander that way. That it is very difficult in most churches, I'll say, not in all churches, but in most churches, to attend church in person and not have an interaction with somebody. Okay. And then you said
there is a way though. I know how to do it.
Start coughing on everybody.
No, you show up after the first song.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And when all heads
leave during that prayer.
Yeah, and
the escape plan prayer, yeah.
When that Southern Baptist goes, all right, every head bow, every eye closed, you at the door.
Yeah. And you sit toward the back just in case there's some people.
Now here's the issue with it. If you go to a – it only works at small Southern Baptist churches because you get to – bigger
yeah.
churches. They're like us. They have a security team outside.
Yeah, like you can't slide out.
Yeah, it only works at small churches.
But aside from the escape plan that Drew just outlined that we do not encourage.
Only if necessary.
Just being very transparent, there are times that I struggle to be around other people. I found this out about myself. Like, and it's so weird because
you found out you're an introvert.
Yeah.
Like, How long did it take you?
Oh my gosh,
I've always thought I loved people. I hate them.
Well, that's
wow.
the thing. I do love people. And so if you know me well, you know I'm very outgoing. But only to those people that I know really well.
I just imagine you sitting on your lazy boy, feet propped up, watching TV show. All of a sudden, it just steps down. I hate people. I thought I loved them.
There are times, as much as I do love people, there are times where going to church, because it's a group of people, because I know there's going to be interaction, I say, Man, there's got to be a reason to stay home.
No, I would 100% agree with you with that because I'm like, I'm an extrovert. Yeah. I love loving people. Like, it's just my favorite thing, right? And there's times, though, I've walked into a church and been like, I don't feel like putting on that mask.
It might have been a hard day, a long day.
You know, you and the spouse might be fighting.
All the way there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like screaming. Yes. And now you're like, hey, oh, I love her.
God.
Yeah. Or it might just be a day where you're just like, I really just don't feel like it.
But here's the amazing thing. There's never been a time I've had one of those days. And there's been times where I've had those days and had to force myself almost physically into church, which looks really weird because I'm pushing myself, and that's a very I'm already an awkwardly shaped man, so it's really weird. But there's never been a day that I regretted going through with it and going to church because I think that I know Satan wants to isolate us, okay? And if he can use our own tendencies to do that, then we forget that we're part of that bigger family of faith. And so those times when I really was just like, man, the last thing I want to do is be around a bunch of people and have to be like, oh, I'm good, everything's good. Those are usually the days where somebody that doesn't normally come up to me or interact with me does so, and it has an impact on the way the rest of my day goes. Contrast that with the times I give in and say, yeah, I'll watch it on TV, I'm not worried about it. The rest of my day is trash. I stay in that mode even longer because I haven't come into fellowship with that family of faith. So to those who are like, man, there are days where I just can't, I understand that. It is a real struggle. Two things. Number one, just what I said, push through. And this is going to be my final thought. Push through. And go because it will make a difference. The second thing is understand that you don't have to put on that mask every time. And we've got to start kind of normalizing this in our churches. It's okay to be broken. Because here's the thing. We're all broken. We just somewhere along the way learned that we can't be allowed to show it in the one place where we should be able to, which is with our fellow believers.
It's like going to a hospital and being like, okay, they can't know anything is wrong with me.
I see people who do that. It drives me nuts.
Like you're just missing an arm.
Yeah. Just regular checkup. Nothing going on here.
It's like, to me, it's so dumb because like you'll have these people and they'll be smiling.
But it's so part of our culture at this point.
Oh, yeah. And as a pastor, it's insane for me to watch it because I mean, this has happened to me. Like, Sunday morning happens, and like before service, and everybody's smiling, having a good time. Yeah. This person comes up to me, smiling, and they're just like, "Hey, yeah." Like everything's amazing to me. How great their week is. And then after service, they come to me like, "Hey, can I talk to you?" Like just off to the side,
just be.
And they say, "Bob," I'm like, "Where was this before service?"
Yeah.
And that's not me saying like, oh, well, you know, you shouldn't have been walking in here crying. Yeah. No, like you don't have to do that. But like, it's okay to not be
okay.
Let's
be real. Yeah. Like it's and I'm going to tell a quick story. I know this is a final thought and then I'm going to hand over to you. You do final thought and then I'll pray and we'll be done. All right. So, you know this about me already. When somebody says, hey to me, what do I say?
Hey.
No, I don't. I say, hey, hey.
Oh, yeah, you do.
Do you know why I do that?
Why?
Because that was part of this thing that started when I started coming here. I was nervous about being somewhere new, and I wanted to seem overly like confident and like approachable. It's a weird. Eventually, I'll just start adding on. The more nervous I get, it'll be like sometimes they're like, "We can't stop him. We don't know what to do now."
Wendy, come pick up your husband.
But it drives my wife crazy. Because she knows it's not how I normally am. And now I'm letting all my secrets out. But like...
Well, see, with me, you say, hey.
Do I? That's weird. Like, I was like today.
Yeah.
That's really weird.
I mean, you're comfortable.
Now if I say, hey to somebody, they're like, what's wrong? What's wrong? But it's a same thing. Like we were joking the other week about, you know, I was Daniel until I started working at the place I work at currently. Because I'd never worked in that environment before, and I got really nervous. I was like, "I'm Dan," because I was like, "I can't risk the second Dan. Part of the name." Yeah, so like,
just can't get it out. You're just stuck.
We all do these things where we try to put up these walls or masks or whatever to say we're okay. It's okay to not be okay, but until somebody takes the first step toward that, we're all going to just keep doing this ridiculous thing we're doing. Yeah.
Well, ahead. see when I am not okay, and like I'm trying to hide it. I knew vision.
I don't know if I would recognize it. I haven't figured you
it's
out.
It's very obvious once you know it.
All right.
But see, I haven't done the new vision because I've not saying everything's peachy. Like,
no, but you're yeah.
I haven't had anyone just deliberately make me mad like my father has before.
No.
and peaceful
Hank. No.
As I avoid people, the only way I know how is outpacing them. I just walk. Yeah, I will continuously walk. I will not stop because if I stop, somebody can stop me and start talking to me.
Then I got it.
And I can't. Yeah. I can't hide emotions.
Then you're trapped.
Yeah. And so I just keep. I remember it was like a Wednesday night. It was like almost a year ago.
Uh-huh.
We were here and I forgot what I was. I was either really upset or I was really mad.
Yeah.
I don't know which one. And I did like 30 laps from 6:45 to 6:50, trying to wait till 7 o'clock. No, I did. I was just pacing. I went from my office to the sanctuary.
Thanks, dude. Let's go. Yeah,
and I just kept walking. And literally someone said, hey, I would say, hey, what's up?
And I'd be
like, I would act like I was going somewhere specific. I was just walking.
Dude, I've done that before.
I mean, because you know what I mean? Like I'm one, like I'm going to stop to talk.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't care. Yeah. Like, and so, like, yeah, if you see me walking and you say hey to me and I keep walking, I mean, I am either, it's three things.
There may be a real emergency.
Yeah, three things. I might have to take, like, poop.
Yeah.
Like, might be something real.
We're getting real, real.
911. And so
those are equivalent.
But no, that walk's different. And I will always say, hey, I'll be right back. I'm coming back.
Yeah.
So that one's out of the way. The second one is I might actually be going somewhere serious.
Yeah, yeah.
At that point, yeah, I'm just gonna say, hey, keep walking.
Yeah, you got stuff to do.
Or I'm mad or sad.
Yeah. It's good to know. All right, final
thought. The day I resigned, I literally I thought I was gonna go through the floor. I basically laps because I was sweating it and so nervous and just so.
The doors don't fit anymore because the floor is now 2 inches lower than it used to be. I don't understand.
My final thought is if at all possible, get connected.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
It's real easy to go when you have a supporting cast.
Yep. Yes. Yes. It's a good thought. That was way shorter than I was expecting. So,
Last week's was long because you got me mad.
I got better about the one line stuff, but now I'm.
You got me frustrated last week, so it was long.
It's fun. I think I'm going to go ahead and speak something into existence. Within the next couple of weeks, we're going to cover, it's going to be fun, snake handling.
only if I can bring a snake in here.
Yeah, it's going to be a monologue if you do. Let me tell you.
No.
We'll put the snake on this
one. Yeah.
What do you think?
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Great point.
Great point. I appreciate that. So as you can tell from what me and my snake think, no.
Oh, man.
Now for callers. It's just it's recorded.
It's just all different animals.
Oh, we have a lion.
It's a CNC.
We have a lion
the
here.
The cow
today.
Says.
All right, guys. So that cow, what he was saying is, yes. So it's now 2-1. Yeah. We need a third. We need a fourth party here.
Oh, man. All right. Let me pray we'll end this thing. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much again for this time and for the fact that we can apply scripture, you know, to today's world, and it still is the truth. It still holds up time and time again. We know it doesn't change, but the reason is it doesn't need to change because it is the truth. It is your truth, the only truth that matters. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for the guidance it provides, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit that guides us as well when we approach these things. And so, Heavenly Father, we just pray that all that would hear would seek to be part of an active family of faith. And yes, that includes, you know, online, but really get into that local physical church, not the building, but the body of believers, so that they have that support, so they can worship and fellowship and glorify you with those around them. So, Heavenly Father, that's the message we hope that people hear today. And we pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hey, it's a great day to have a great day. So have a great day.